KMCH HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Live from the headquarters of CBS Sky Radio, this is Fired Up with CJ. You can find her at fireitupwithcj.com or on Facebook, same name, Fired Up with CJ. Welcome to May, everybody. This month we'll be focusing on women and empowering us to be our very best. And right now, I give you CJ Liu.
Hey, welcome everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and I am super excited about this month. I've talked to such incredible women, and today is no different. We have best-selling author of Alpha Chick, Five Steps for Moving from Pain to Power and Helping Us Regain Our Lives Back. And you know, about 17 years ago, I got married, and this interesting phenomenon happened when I got married, is I started kind of forgoing all of my needs for my kids and my husband, and everything came secondary, or my needs became secondary. And I think that that's a pretty common phenomenon when women start having kids. And I lost my work identity, and again, it began, my life was all about tending to others. So today we have Mel, who is going to help us get our lives back. Welcome, Mel.
CJ, it's so exciting to be with you today. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm curious. You've coached a lot of women. What have you found are the ways that women start giving up their power? Does it happen like it did with me where they start having kids? And is that the beginning or is that just the middle? Or what do you usually find?
It actually starts a lot earlier, CJ, sadly. It starts when we're small kids and girls are told, oh, sit over in the chair, dear, and be quiet like a nice little girl. Mm-hmm. So at a very early age, we start to learn that we should not speak up. We should not express what we're feeling or what we want. And then that carries forth in our lives, and it starts to show up in our relationships, you know, as we start dating or we get married or start having families. And we keep carrying that trait of not speaking up and not having boundaries. And even in business, it's very common. So what you described as getting married and starting a family, and all of a sudden your identity became that, your family, mm-hmm. is such a common issue for women.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It doesn't have to be that way, because what happens is when you get into that feeling of all I have is really my family identity, you start to disconnect emotionally.
Mm-hmm. How do you see people disconnecting emotionally?
They get bored. They get angry. There's resistance. And lots of times it can lead to unacceptable behavior, such as women start to drink, or they start shopping too much because they're not feeling good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of given up everything that they were passionate about to now fulfill this role as a mother. And it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm. And you so know, it seems like that's one way we sabotage ourselves, is that we, and you had said, interestingly, when we first started talking about this, that women do so much in terms of their beliefs and their behaviors to sabotage ourselves. What did you mean by that?
Well, we're famous for that because we carry with us this old bag of stuff. It's like old luggage that we drag around, and it's all our past experiences. It's old comments that people made to us that we've now buried into our souls, and we're carrying them around, and all this old stuff is meaningless. as to who we are today as women. We've got to learn to let go of that crap. And, you know, there's a wonderful expression that I love it when you get on a plane and you're sitting down and American Airlines tells you, you know what, if we hit a rough spot here and we get into trouble and the plane starts to dive, put your air mask on first and then help the kids, because you know what? You need to be with it and your wherewithal and on top of things before you can help the kids. And if you don't have that oxygen flow, guess what? It's not going to happen. That's a prime example. We need to take care of ourselves first. Our self-care is so important, mentally, emotionally, and physically, so that we are able to show up as powerful women for our mates, our husbands, our kids.
Yeah, so we're sabotaging, and in that particular example, and I think in the other ones that you talked about, we're sabotaging our passions and our own needs, maybe even our own life, in the example of the airplane. So one of the things that we do to sabotage ourselves is we put our others' needs before ours. And it's hard, I think, to actually recognize that it should be reverse. I think. I don't know. And I think you're right. It's when we're little kids that we're trained that it should be different, right? Put everyone else's needs above our own. And I think that that just continues as we get older and older and gets worse, sadly.
How many times were you told as a kid, oh, now, give that toy to Johnny?
Right.
You know, oh, okay. Or go over there now. You're making too much noise. Go over there, sit down, and be a quiet little girl. Little girls sit over there, and they're ladylike, and they're silent. You know, and not that anybody was trying to be harmful, but we have to watch the language that we are using with children because they carry that language forward.
Right. And so another way, the other thing I'm hearing you say is the other way that we sabotage ourselves is we don't speak up. You know, so we're quiet. So we don't speak up. We just basically like shove down our thoughts, our ideas, our beliefs because we're told to be quiet.
How many women do not express how they truly feel in a relationship just to hang on?
I know. Not to offend someone. You know, I was talking to a girlfriend and she said, I really don't like when this woman talks in this particular way, so I've just chosen not to hang out with her anymore. And I said, well, do you still enjoy her company? She said, I do, but I just don't want her to talk, you know, in this particular way. I don't like when she's kind of demeaning to other people. It's out of integrity for me. Right. And I said, well, could you just say to her, hey, because she keeps on calling her to get together. And I said, well, couldn't you just say, hey, I'd love to get together, but one of the things I feel is that when you go there, it just doesn't feel good to me. So can we stop doing that? And she's like, oh, no, I don't think I could say that. And I said, well, why not? And she said, well, I guess I could say, you know, it's, you know, I could say some version of it, but I just think it's so interesting.
Right. What are we afraid of? And it's the same thing in the work environment. Lots of times we are treated so poorly and without respect or consideration, somebody can make excessive demands of us. We need to protect ourselves in the work environment. You need to speak up.
So not speaking up, putting other people first, and what are other things that we do to sabotage ourselves so we can be more conscious?
Well, it's our limiting beliefs and most of the things that we think about ourselves are not true. And so a great way to break through that barrier is to really create a sheet about what you believe about yourself. Write it down, because a lot of these beliefs may be from somebody else's opinion, a comment that was made, or something that we took and we twisted it, and now we've made it much more damaging and painful than the original words ever intended. So,
that's
we
so
keep playing the drama, the role over and over in our head, that conversation, and by the time we get through playing it over for the 50th time, the words have changed dramatically from what was initially said.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm my next guest, Emily, I think, is here, and we are. And money is one of those things that we continually tell ourselves we're not good with numbers and we're not good with money. I just had one recently where I was waiting for a developer to help me with a WordPress plugin. And it's very technical. And I thought, well, you know, I'm hiring him. I'll just, and I've been emailing and asking him to fix the plugin. And then finally I thought, you know, screw it. I'm going to read all this documentation and figure it out. If he can figure it out, I can figure it out. Why do I think just because he's a guy, he's a developer, that he can do any better job than I will? I will just figure this out because my hands now are tied based on this developer who is not responding to me. And so I will just take control of the situation and fix it. But before, I think I was in this mode where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing with technical stuff. I get so confused and lost. And I think it was when I let go of that belief and said, oh, screw it. I will figure it out, just like everything else.
Yeah. You want to learn how to do something? Go to YouTube. Search it. They probably have a video there that will tell you exactly how to fix that plugin.
And that's exactly what happened. I went in and I got the plugin. It's still not working exactly right, but at least people can listen to my show. Although the plugin didn't allow anyone to listen to the show, so it was a critical error on my website. But I just thought I'm taking control over the situation. And there are videos to do everything.
You've got
everything.
I was having problems shooting a video with my iPhone, and I was using a software that was recommended, and I couldn't get it to work right. I went to YouTube.
Yeah.
And I put in the software and how to use it. And up came three choices of watching very short videos and what to do. You know, I mean, women don't need to restrict themselves in this day and age from managing household. I think women should manage the household budget and pay the bills so that they know what's going on. They know the money flow.
Mm-hmm.
This thing about letting men handle it all, no. I think women should take over that from their husbands so that they're not clueless.
Yep.
Not difficult.
Yep.
Get a calculator if you can't add.
Yeah. Well, just to even do it so you know that you can do it so that it doesn't haunt you and those beliefs actually are fearful for you.
Yes.
When it doesn't need to be, like, I think you're right. YouTube and all those videos, what's available on the internet now is like the great equalizer. We don't have to be disempowered or kind of like, oh, I hope someone can help me. And we can help ourselves, right, and teach ourselves how to do things. It's possible.
Exactly.
All right, so tell us about your five-step process. So you use the acronym FAITH.
Yes.
Tell us what it stands for, the F, the A-I-T-H. What does it stand for? And how do we use your process to regain our lives back?
FAITH is a word that everybody understands and has a individual interpretation of, and this really has nothing to do with religion. It's all about belief.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not tied to any specific religion.
Mm-hmm.
The F is for focus, meaning that we go within to get the answers that we are searching for. But we are taught always, we're actually taught in reverse, to pursue the answers to problems and issues outside of ourselves. We're constantly looking for validations and solutions outside of ourselves. Everything we need to know to manage our lives and live as awakened women is within us already.
Mm-hmm.
We just take time to go within, settle down, listen. So that's focus.
Okay.
E is for acceptance and attitude. When we accept what has happened in life, instead of resisting and pushing and saying, oh, no, if we just accept it, we can let it go. And acceptance doesn't mean that you're saying something's right or wrong. You're strictly acknowledging that something has happened and releasing it from your attention, that so it's not constantly consuming your thoughts. And once we do that, all that old debris and old stuff and shame and guilt and why did I do this and I should have done that goes away. What happens is, as that weight comes off our shoulders, our attitude about all this stuff starts to change very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
All this crap no longer has the importance that it once had. We start to see it's really meaningless.
Yeah. I mean, all that guilt and shame just weighs us down and makes us become unresourced, I think. So the sooner you can let go of it, the better.
Oh, my goodness. It's huge for women. it keeps them from really living at their full potential mm-hmm. because they're chained to that past guilt and shame. Mm-hmm. No need to do that.
How about I, the T, and the H?
The I is for identification and intention. We mm-hmm. need to identify what our self-sabotaging behaviors are. And once we're able to identify those behaviors, then we're able to set new intentions as to mm-hmm. what we want to do. And the reason why it's an intention has this, and has the soul of the universe behind it. It has the energy of the universe behind it. And they really manifest where a goal is more of like a written wish on a piece of paper. So mm-hmm. intentions are extremely powerful as far as holding us to the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like cleaning your house. You can't clean house until you know where the dirt is. And this
right.
is the same thing. You've got to identify, what is this crazy stuff that I'm doing that is keeping me blocked, keeping me from growing, keeping me from connecting to the joy that I deserve in my life? And once you do that, then you can set the intention and create the action steps that will move you forward.
Mm. And I think, you know what, I think it's time for a break. So when we get back, we'll talk about the T and the H, and then we're going to be walking us through how you would use this particular, in fact, how you use this particular process to remove some of the addictive behaviors in your life. So folks, make sure to subscribe to us by going to www.fireduppwithcj.com, and you'll get a schedule of upcoming shows, articles, and be eligible to win freebies when we have them. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireduppwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky.
Sky. Live from the headquarters of CBS Sky Radio, Fired Up with CJ, now also on iTunes. Our guest today is Mal Duane, author of Alpha Chick, 5 Steps from Moving from Pain to Power. I'm Cassandra from CBS Sky Radio, and we're going to go right back to CJ and Mal.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm CJ Liu, and we are going to be talking about how we would apply Mal Duane's Alpha Chick, 5 Steps from Moving from Pain to Power. So in the previous segment, we were talking about the 5 steps are embedded in an acronym for faith. And the first one was to focus. The second was acceptance and attitude. And the third was identification and intention. And these are some steps that you can use when you're hit an impasse in your life and you want to move forward. And you don't want to turn away or go into denial or eat yourself into misery. Or in Mal's case, you actually had some addictions. And so Mal Duane is going to be sharing her 5 steps, and particularly how she used these 5 steps herself personally for moving from pain to power. So welcome back, Mal.
Oh, it's great to be back with you, CJ.
So what tells the remaining steps? So focus, acceptance and attitude, identification and intention. What were the T and H stand for?
The T stands for thoughts. And there's been a lot written about the power of our thoughts. And we know that what we think shows up in our life experience. We manifest mm-hmm. what we think about. So we really have to pay attention to our thoughts. And if you start to train yourself and monitor what you're thinking, if you discover that you're focusing on negative things, to break that pattern, I used to pull an elastic band on my wrist. But I've discovered something. Oh, and that used to hurt like holy hell. But now, rather than do that and torture myself, I tap myself right on the right temple. And that breaks my train of thought.
Wait, so you
and
tap
go,
the right temple? I love
right
that.
Temple.
Okay.
Tap it a couple times. I tap my right on my right temple. That breaks my train of thought. And then I said, wait a minute, not going there with that. And I shift
that.
My thinking into a positive mode.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, you really, you become very trained at it.
Mm.
It's very, very powerful.
Yeah. So I guess your family members know when they see you tapping on your, oh, there she goes. She must have negative thoughts.
For years they thought I was, you know, Looney Tunes, but they're getting used to me slowly but surely, I think.
Okay, and what does the H of the faith stand for?
And the H is my favorite step because this is healing and helping. Hmm. When we heal as women, when we become empowered and we're strong and we're centered, we know it. Our dimmer switch is all the way up. We are a shining light. We're a force to be reckoned with. And you feel it. Energetically, we know when we're strong. We know when we're standing in our power. We just resonate with a different energy. And when we're at that level, you got to turn around and start to give it away. You've got to go and help others who need that support and that acceptance and that help and help in getting them to that consciousness, that awareness that you now have for yourself. And it's a law of reciprocity. That's really what it boils down to, because what you give out is going to come back to you tenfold.
Hmm. Now tell us about your own personal story and how this process saved your life.
Well, I suffered from addiction, really, you know, bad alcoholism and depression and self-loathing for 25 years. It's a long window. And I got to a point where I one day was so broken open and raw emotionally that I thought my best option might be death. I couldn't see anything else ahead of me. I was too buried in my own pain and suffering. And so what happened was when I let go of my will and was willing to open my heart to another voice, to some other influence, it happened. I think you get to that point where you're broken open that the light can finally shine in on you. And that's what happened. It was a spiritual awakening. It was an epiphany. And at that moment, I knew that I had the power of choice. And it was there, but it had been buried under all the debris of the addiction and the craziness and the chaos. And once I discovered that awareness that I had that power of choice, and a lot of this came through meditation, the more I meditated, the more I understood exactly what my journey had been and what I needed to learn. And from there, I could create the intentions that I needed to create to move myself forward. And I did that through meditation, through journaling, and through prayer. But using these five steps over and over and over again brought me to creating a $50 million company, buying a horse I didn't know what end to feed, to become world champion, marrying my husband, Dr. Delicious, my soulmate. I mean, I have created everything a woman would want in life. I have it.
So I'm hearing you, the way that it maps to your process is that the meditation, the journaling, it's not as if you went out looking for the answers. You went inside to find the answers. What was it that you had to accept about your alcoholism so that you could be free of it?
Was that my alcoholism, my behavior, my actions were not who I was as a woman. Yes, I looked at it as this huge flaw my whole life. All of a sudden, I realized it was not a huge flaw. I had an illness. I had a disease. And once I embraced my flaw and could actually find the perfection in my flaw so that I owned it, I accepted it. I just did a big speech on Saturday night, and I said, you know what? I'm going to say something very shocking. I am grateful that I'm an alcoholic because I wouldn't be doing all these interviews. I wouldn't be speaking to all these women. I would not have written my book, which became a bestseller and won 5 huge awards. And I would not have married my husband if I had not been an alcoholic.
Interesting. So that's an example of how you took those thoughts, which was, you know, your intention and identification, so you no longer identified as being a woman who couldn't deal with it, couldn't do it, couldn't whatever that was, but you actually turned around your identification to someone who is powerful and could turn things around and took those thoughts as a positive intention, looking at the, I had a guest called and they called it wabi-sabi, looking at the imperfections of things and seeing the beauty inherent in that.
Yep. That's exactly what it is, wabi-sabi. Finding the beauty in imperfections.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's your essence.
Yeah.
I discovered who I truly was as a woman. I was a loving, caring, funny, creative woman, ready to emerge from this cocoon of addiction that I had lived in for so long. And once I broke out, whoa, I became unstoppable.
Yeah. Yeah, and it sometimes I think it is that those, it's so hard to look at those dark moments and see them as opportunities for growth. But in fact, every single time when I look back at my life and I look at the darkest moments are also the moments in which I grew the most and spiritually, emotionally, physically, everything. And it's great to hear. I mean, it's inspiring to hear how you did that and used it as a way to cure yourself. So, and inspire other people who have addictions. It's fantastic to have you there.
Lessons come from pain.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mal Duane here, Alpha Chick. I love the idea. I love your title of your book, Alpha Chick, 5 Steps for Moving from Pain to Power. Folks, make sure to get her book. And thank you so much for being here. Very inspiring.
Bless you. I love the work you're doing. I'm honored to share this time with you. Thank you so much.
Blessings back. All right. Thank you so much. And in the next segment, we talk to Emily Zillig about a subject that most women cringe about. We have unempowering beliefs about money and our ability to handle it. So we're going to be talking to Emily about some of the common mistakes we make about money and how we fix them. And folks, make sure to go to www.firedupwithcj.com and get a schedule of upcoming shows, articles, and coaching tips. We'll be right back.